All right, if you would please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We resume our journey through the Gospel of John. What a precious book. John chapter 20 and verse 24. John 20 and verse 24. So Jesus has met already with all the disciples. He's met with some of them more than once, but Thomas has not seen Christ. Thomas, which is his last, he was also called Didymus. We get our word ditto from there. So Thomas was not only a twin, which Thomas means, but he was an identical twin. And we don't know who his brother was, but we know that here's Thomas, his identical twin. Looks to be someone who's had a hard time trusting what others tell him. Maybe a lot of people teased him. Maybe a lot of people told him things. He was easy to believe. Maybe he was the last one to not believe in Santa Claus if he was in our day. But he learned not to believe everything he heard. When it comes to the world, that is a good thing. Don't believe everything you hear and only half of what you see. But when it comes to the Word of God, you need to believe everything you read. You need to believe everything that you see in God's Word. So, John chapter 20 and verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, the amazing thing here is not that Jesus appears in the midst while the doors are closed. The amazing thing here is that Christ knew exactly what was going on with Thomas. He knew he was missing before. He knew, but he's here. But it's that he heard Thomas when Thomas was telling him, "Unless I do this, unless I do that." Reminds us what we learned in Revelation this morning, that Christ is in the midst of his church. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in a special way in the midst of them. He's with every believer everywhere we go. He indwells us by his Holy Spirit. We have this treasure which is Christ in us. But the point that's being is that when a body of believers comes together, it's like a little picture of heaven where all the believers are in heaven. They're worshiping Christ. They're singing his praises. They're giving glory to him. So where two or three come together to do that, it's like a little heaven on earth. And of course, Jesus, being the greatest heaven of all, is in our midst. You know, every time I miss school, I miss something. When I was a little boy, I was sick. I would get little sores on my head for no reason. My teeth, they wouldn't get white no matter how hard I tried to brush them. I would get ringworms easy, chicken pox, everything like that. And I had asthma real bad. And sometimes I went to sleep coughing. I woke up coughing. So when I would miss school for 2 or 3 days in a row, it seemed like I always missed something exciting. Like the teacher would bring in somebody that would bring in Hawaiian food that they have at a luau, and they would have the raw sugar cane, and they would have pineapple, and they'd have poi, which isn't that great. And then tastes more like mud. But then they would bring in the ham and the stuff from a barbecued pig and all that good stuff. And I would miss it. And I'd feel so bad. Or there would be, "Oh man, you missed school yesterday." "Yeah, David Miller, he was sitting right behind Alice and Gillette. you know, the prettiest girl in the school. And he got sick at his stomach. And instead of going to the bathroom, he threw up all over the back of Alice and Gillette. She was mad. She turned around and hit him and yelled at him and screamed. I thought, man, I wish I would have been here to see that. You know, I always miss something exciting. It made it harder to catch up with the class, because back in those days, the teacher would send you your homework to get you caught up with the rest of the class. And so it wasn't a good thing. All that to say, every time that someone may miss a service for not a good reason, they just say, I'm not sick. I don't have a headache. I don't have anything to do. I'm just going to watch TV today and not go to church. You never know, but that sermon that day may have been something that could have excited your heart to love Jesus so much more, to desire to pray and get close to him so much more, or that you would have appreciated or heard the prayer requests of someone in church that just made you want to serve, made you want to minister, made you want to encourage them, made you want to give to them, made you want to pray for them more intensely during the week. You never know what you're going to miss. And that's what we see here, is see the importance of faithfulness to Christian fellowship. See here the importance of faithfulness to Christian fellowship. Verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so Thomas missed a blessing by not being with God's people when they met. I am so glad, you know, among other things, why I'm not a truck driver anymore. It never got in my blood. And when I was a truck driving school instructor, I mean, every day doing the California air brake COLA test over and over and over again. Then after that, doing the 178-point pre-trip inspection over every place of the motor, over every part of the wheel. And there are different wheels on a big rig. There's wheels that have just a regular axle and lugs. But then there's other ones that have oil inside the hub. And then you can recap, you can use recaps on the trailer wheels, but you can't use them on the tractor wheels. And you got to point all these things out every day, 178 point every day with all the students over and over. Then in the afternoon, after lunch, what you do is you take the ones through their skills. You've got your straight line back. Then you've got your offset. Then you've got your parallel. Then you have your alley dock. And they have to know all four of those parking things to be able to get their driver's license, because when they go down to the DMV, if they mess up on just one point of the air brake COLA test, they end it that day. You don't get to do anything else. You don't get to drive. You may know how to alley dock like nobody's business, but you miss one point on the first thing you do when you get in that truck with the DMV. You miss one point on that air brake COLA test, and they end it. That's it. You got to come back tomorrow, or you got to make an appointment for another time. And so doing this, and then another thing was, I had the Volvo with the Eaton Super 8, and I had been driving a Freightliner 10-speed, and so now I'm going out with these students. I'm familiar with it. They're not familiar with it. Some of them never drove a stick shift before. And so we're here going over the track that we know the DMV is going to test them on for their driving test. And they're getting stuck going up a hill, not knowing how to change the gear. And they were having to put the emergency brake on. And then me get out, come back in, let them sit down and take it till we're not on the hill anymore. And that was every day, day in and day out. And I was already tired of driving a truck. But one thing I hated about it the most was it kept me away from church. A lot of times I had to call Brother Philip, and Connie and Nathan would talk to me on the phone, said, oh, it was a good service. Yeah, Philip did a good job. He talked about the love of God and what it means to love God in return and so on like that. And so I was helped by that, but I hated it. It was miserable to be away from church. And then all these years, even though I was sick, I would go preach in church and such like that. The only time I couldn't go was when I couldn't get my nose to quit bleeding one night. So for over 20-some years, I'd never missed a church service. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, always there, no matter how I felt. Then I missed that one Sunday night service because my nose wouldn't. I thought I had it. I thought I had it dried up. I thought it wouldn't bleed anymore. And then I sneezed, and it opened the floodgates again. And I had to call off the church service because I couldn't be there. And then there have been a few times that I've been here that because of my health, there's such a migraine headache. I have an old football injury, an old stinger back here that's left some disfigured tissue and bone. I mean, just sometimes it makes me want to cry. It'll wake me up, making me want to cry. And when that migraine that's associated with it comes, if I can't get rid of it after 3 or 4 Excedrin migraine things, it just makes you grouchy. Have you ever been like that? I mean, you're already tired from working, but then you get grouchy because this headache won't go away. But by God's grace, I'm asking Him to never let me be in such a case. I'm going to get sick. Let it be another day. Let me be able to serve Him on Sundays. But Thomas missed a blessing by not being with God's people when they met. Maybe Thomas was ill. Maybe he was attending to business. But the truth remains that Jesus visited His people and Thomas missed that blessing. Instead of being infused like the others with a dynamic faith and overflowing joy, he was filled with what? Doubt, unbelief, even to his own brethren that he'd walked with for 3.5 years. While others were rejoicing in their living Savior, remember it says, then were they glad when they saw the Lord and Jesus breathed on them. They received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with uncertainties and fears while they were rejoicing. We should never be absent from God's public worship. God's people are there and they need your encouragement. Your voice should unite with theirs in praising God in song and pleading with Him in prayer. I miss Victor, don't you? He should be here. And I'm asking God to do whatever it takes to get him here safe and sound. And I miss you when you're not here. I really do. You minister to me. Just being with you, I get convicted of my sins, of my shortcomings. I'm encouraged to want to read my Bible more. Hearing Aurora's faith this morning after Sunday school and how she's turning to the Lord for everything in her life. The tests of her heart in the times of her loneliness. She's finding Jesus an ever-present help in times of trouble. Just hearing that. It's a sermon to me. It's a blessing to me to see how a Christian, by God's grace, is enduring such a trial. Your voice is needed. Your pleading with God in prayer is needed. And the Bible says this, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Never be absent from God's house on Sunday without a good reason. If you're sick, it's a good reason to stay away and not make everybody else sick. But if you're not sick, if you don't have a good reason, don't let your place be empty when God is being worshipped. You can't grow as a Christian without other believers. That's why God put us together in the church. The hospitality that we see with Philip and Ellen is amazing. It preaches to me. It's a blessing to me. That when we get there and the food is getting ready or most of it's already ready, just the preparations that went in before that. And when you guys bring treats and stuff to church, I know that you had to stop the car, get out of it, pay the money, and then get to church after already having a busy morning getting ready to come to church. It's such a blessing each of you are to me, and I need your encouragement. I need you to come to church. Never be absent unless it's necessary. Without a good reason, you should be in church. You can't grow as a Christian without other believers. The very sermon that you miss may have been the very word you need for your soul. The assembly that would have cheered and established your heart may be missed forever. And so the scripture says, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. A New Testament church is not a spiritual museum where we come to look at the relics of spirituality. It's not even a library where we come in and say, shh. It is a spiritual hospital for those wounded in spiritual battle. It is a place of reviving for the weary and needy soul who's been listening to God's name taken in vain all week. It is a spiritual boot camp where we learn how to pick up our sword and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and do battle. And it is an embassy of heaven on earth where we set the example of our true homeland. Our true place of heaven to others on earth. And then not only see the importance of faithfulness to Christian fellowship here, but see how gracious the Lord is to weak believers. Did he come in chastising Thomas? Did he come saying, where were you, Thomas? Were you out fishing again? Were you out drinking with the old crowd again? Where were you? He didn't say that. He says to him, he offers him, here I am, Thomas. Put your fingers in the print of my hands. Thrust your hand into my side and see that it's I. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas' faith was so shattered and weak that even when his 10 faithful brethren told him about Jesus, it had no effect on his heart. But Jesus, being so very patient, Jesus being so compassionate, for Thomas's sake, he returns the next Sunday and deals with him as like a loving parent. If nothing but a physical proof would satisfy Thomas, then Jesus would let him see the physical proof that he was truly risen from the dead, that he was Lord of life, Lord over all. And this should be a comfort to all of us as believers. The Holy Spirit knows we are weak. He knows that we are human. He knows that we are prone to doubting. Like the song says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. But this should comfort us. No, I love that part in Psalm 103 where it says, God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He separated us from our sins. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him, for He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. Amen. Thank God we have such a faithful and compassionate high priest who is touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, our infirmities. Yet he himself is without sin. And so we may come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is filled with patience and mercy, love and grace. So see how gracious the Lord is to weak believers. And thirdly, hear the witness of Thomas about Jesus. As we see Jesus' compassion and mercy in verse 26 and 27, notice when Jesus comes into the room, the first thing he does, he didn't say is, oh, you finally showed up, Thomas. No, he said, peace to you. Peace to you. Tranquility to you. Sereneness to you. No trouble. In other words, don't you guys stress about anything. Don't worry. You have peace with God. You have peace with me, through me. And then you have peace within yourselves, knowing that all your sins are forgiven. Now we look here at verse 28. We hear the witness of Thomas about Jesus. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. And so when Thomas saw his Lord Jesus, he saw him as the Almighty Lord of glory himself. He saw the wounds and knew he was in the presence of the everlasting God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present creator of the universe was there before him, and he worships him. He says, "My Lord and my God." Now, unless our Lord Jesus is very God of very God, he would not have accepted this worship. Only God deserves the worship like Thomas gave him. And so Christ is God. And it is the foundation truth of Christianity. If some people say Christ is a God, their religion is false. If they say that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he spiritually rose from the dead, but he didn't physically rise again from the dead, they can't be saved. The Bible says this is the gospel that Paul said, this is the gospel that I delivered unto you, that was delivered unto me, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, if you don't believe that, that he's the only way to heaven, and you don't believe he's God, then you can't be saved. These are fundamentals. Jesus is God in every book of the Bible. The deity of Christ is on every page of the New Testament. And we opened this book, the Gospel of John. It said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without him there was not anything made that was made." There are three, 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And then we just came through the Christmas season, and a lot of people quoted these verses. It was on Christmas cards. It was in Christmas sermons where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then Paul mentions in Romans, "According to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen." It's on every page of the New Testament. Again, one of my favorite verses is, "For by him," he's talking about Jesus, "for by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist and have their being." And so we may rest our eternal souls on Christ. We can have undoubting, unflinching confidence that he is the one perfect God, as well as perfect man, equaling the perfect Savior. There's not two Jesuses. There's not Jesus God and Jesus man. There's the union, Christ the God-man, one person who is both God and man. Amen. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful, mysterious truth. What great, vast ocean of trying to understand and of wisdom and of grace and of love that God became man. The one who died for you was the one who created the universe out of nothing. The one the one who nourished at Mary's breast was the one who created all things. The one who learned how to use a hammer in the carpenter shop is the one who formed the stars and the trees and the mountains and everything. He is Christ, our God and Savior. So as we close here and get ready to prepare for the Lord's table, the lessons are this. Number one, do not forsake the public worship of God unless you're too sick to come. If you're going to a ball game, let the people invited you know that you go to church on Sunday. Now, if you get a ticket to something really great, the Lord will understand if you're not going to be there. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, of course. But come back and say, what did I miss last week? You know, don't forsake it for things that are not important, that don't have to any value or merit in your life. Do not forsake the public worship of God. It is where Jesus meets with his people. It's where we worship and glorify God like the saints do in heaven. It's where the glorious gospel of salvation is proclaimed and guarded and protected. It is where we find comfort and strength in time of need. It's where we learn the wisest ways to live. It's where we meet those who pray for us and really care about us. It's where we set a good example for our kids and our neighbors. It's where we can give to the support of God's kingdom in this world. It's where we can meditate on the Lord like we will this morning, enjoy communion, and join our hearts in united prayer to God. It's where we can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. It is where faith is increased, because the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is where God gives his blessings. How lovely is your tabernacle, David wrote. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord God of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Do not forsake the public worship of God unless you have to. Number two, do not be the kind of person who seeks after signs. Now, Thomas is seeking after a sign. I've seen so many Baptists confused because they'll have a brother or sister or friend who gets saved, and all of a sudden they're in this charismatic, full gospel assembly type stuff where they're all having these feelings and all these emotions, and they're having visions, and they're having words of knowledge, and they're having these dreams. And ooh, the Holy Spirit was there because the hair stood up all over my body. I could just tell the Holy Spirit was there. And they're starting to think, you know, I don't speak in tongues. There they are saying, God gave me the gift of tongues. Tiki, tiki, bobo. Shalom, shalawanda, laviva, ladanda. Boom, 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 boom. See? And so their Baptist relatives say, am I really missing out on something? No. We walk by faith, not by feeling. We trust in the Lord because his word is true, not because the hair stand up on our body. And, well, let's move on. Do not be the kind of person who seeks after signs. The proof that Jesus gave to his disciples is all you need. It's written down for you. Looking around for signs and proofs is a part of the sin of unbelief. Some seek for miracles. Some want their faith healing. Some are looking to have their visions or their special voices like that. What was that vineyard movement where they knew they were having a revival because everybody broke out into animal sounds in the church? Do you remember that? It was during the 80s? Everybody said, somebody would be over here, kakuru! Another one, moo! Another one, yeah, you know, like a donkey. And they said, oh, this is just proof that the Holy Spirit has fallen on us and we're having revival. So unscriptural. Yet thousands were caught up in it. I'm saying thousands were caught up in it. And the unbelievers looked on and said,
an intelligent God.
Yeah. They turned away. Don't be that kind of person. It dishonors your Lord. It honors God for you to trust in the perfect truth of His Scripture when you don't feel like it. You know, anybody can sing hallelujahs to the Lord when the sun is shining and it's warm outside and the laundry's clean and you know it's going to get that clean smell on it. It's drying on the lines and the refrigerator's full and you got money in your savings account. Anybody can sing hallelujah then. But when you can sing hallelujah when the clothesline breaks and all that clean laundry just falls into the mud, You go to your refrigerator and somebody ate your zingers or your ho-hos or whatever. And when you can, and when you look at the bank account and say, I got to call my bill collector. Hey, bill collector, I can give you $20 this week, but I'll have to make up the rest of it after a while. And you can sing hallelujah, and you can praise God, and you can thank Jesus. That honors him. You know, is it showing more love when you look at a loved one and say, I love you, even when you don't feel like it? Or when you overcome with emotion and say, ooh, I just love you. Well, that's nice. But I want you to love me when you don't feel like it. Amen? And so that's what we see here. You don't have to have all the other things. Just faith in God. It doesn't need a sign. It doesn't need a wonder. It doesn't need a miracle. It takes God at his word and says, you remember that bumper sticker? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Remember that? What it should be changed to is God said it, and that settles it. Amen. And so, I like that acrostic, by the way. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. For all, I trust him. For all, I trust him. Faith. Look to the gospel, too, and see, as we close the application, look to the gospel and see the wounds of Christ for you by faith. In his wounds are the comforts that he died for your sins. They show you the same Jesus who died for you has risen again in that same body who died for your sins. Though the body is glorified now, though it's immortal now, though it's powerful now, though it may be able to travel at the speed of thought now, it is not held back by doors or windows or barricades, but yet it can still eat honeycomb and fish and bread. Amazing. And you see that it's that body, that same kind of body that the Bible over and over and over again promises us as believers, that when he raises us, we're going to have the same kind of body as Jesus. His scars are the tokens of his love for you. He has graven you on the palms of his hands. As we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, his spirit gives us his presence. And Jesus promised us that he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Maybe it'll be an answer to prayer. Maybe it'll be just when heartbreaking news comes and the sweet Holy Spirit whispers as only he can to your heart, oh, come now, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. Everything will be all right. Amen. We need no signs when we have the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said here. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. A greater blessing comes to us when we walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk by faith and not by feeling. And so, as we come to the Lord's Supper, this is our looking at the wounds of Christ. This is our, as it were, by faith, seeing Christ and what he's done for us. No, it's not, you know, every time one of these guys has a vision of Jesus, I worry about the next thing that's going to come out of their mouth. It's usually this. I caught a vision of Jesus. He told me that we need to raise this much money. It always has to do with money. Well, if you've seen Jesus and you're alive, you didn't see Jesus. The Bible says he dwells in light and incomprehensible, and that without holiness, perfect holiness, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. Father, we pray that you bless the message to our hearts, that you would bless your word to us, and bless our time at your table in Jesus' name. Amen.